Welcome to Richer Life Insights. Our goal is to help you drive more money, motivation, and meaning into your life. Today, I'm having a conversation with Dr. Carol Dweck about mindsets and how we can learn to fulfill our optimum potential. So my goals for this conversation are for you to understand the two types of mindsets, how they can either work for or against you, and how you can develop a more positive, growth-oriented mindset. So let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Carol Dweck. And so that's kind of a tongue twister. So with her permission, I'm going to call her Carol. She is a leading researcher in the field of motivation. Her research focuses on why people succeed and how to foster their success. She's a professor at Stanford University, and you may have seen her in The New Yorker, Newsweek, Time, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, or on The Today Show, Good Morning America, or 2020. So her most recent book, and the one that we're going to be talking about a lot today, is a book titled Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. So, Carol, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom.
It's a pleasure to be here, Robert.
And so, you know, I read a lot of books, probably 2 to 3 every single week, and I have been a fan of psychology and psychological type research books for a long time. And so in psychology, once in a while there comes an idea or a theory that kind of shatters maybe preconceived notions and also helps you look at the world in a whole new light. And I think, and I think a lot of other people think, your book is one of those ideas.
Thank you. I'd like to think so, too. It grew out of, didn't come out of nowhere. It grew out of many, many, many years of research when suddenly I realized that these mindsets were driving a lot of were determining a lot of whether people fulfilled their potential, really succeeded in what they set out to do. Shall I tell you about them?
Well, yeah, let's explain. what are mindsets?
Mindsets are beliefs people have about themselves. Some people believe their basic qualities, talents, abilities are fixed. They're just these fixed traits. You have a certain amount and that's that. And other people believe the opposite. They believe they're things that you can develop your whole life through. When people believe they're fixed, they worry, how smart am I? How much talent do I really have? They're always judging themselves. They're afraid to take on challenges, maybe make mistakes, maybe have others think they're not as smart as they want them to think. But when people have more of a growth mindset, they don't bother measuring themselves every minute. They want to grow. They want to learn more, become smarter, so they take on more challenges. And when they hit setbacks, it's not a measure of their permanent ability. It's a challenge to try new ways to succeed.
And so I've talked about you in actually other interviews, and I've actually written about you before because I'm really fascinated with motivation and how people change. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of a growth versus fixed mindset, I've sort of compared these two mindsets to sort of a radio. With a fixed mindset, it's either on or off. You've either got the skill, you've got the talent, you've got the looks, you've got the intelligence, or you don't. And with a growth mindset, it's kind of like the volume. It might be low right now, but if you do certain things, you can kind of dial it up a little bit. Do you think
Yes.
that's kind of a fair assessment?
Yes, I do. I think it's a great analogy. Because people in a fixed mindset are looking, do I have the talent? I want to be a writer. All my life I've wanted to be a writer, for example. But maybe I don't have the talent. And somehow, they may not even have the courage to find out. Is the switch on? Is the switch off?
And so if I'm listening and I'm going, okay, there's these two kinds of mindsets. You've got the growth. You've got the fixed. Which one am I? Yeah, you know, how can someone tell which sort of mindset is sort of represent who they are for most of the time?
listen carefully to the following statement and then think about whether you agree with it or disagree with it. Ready?
Bring it on.
Your intelligence is something very basic about you that you can't really change. If you agree with that, that's a fixed mindset. Listen to this one. Anyone, no matter who they are, can become substantially more intelligent. That's a growth mindset.
Yes, okay.
And you can have mindsets about your totality. The kind of person you are is something about you that you can't really change. That's a fixed mindset. Everyone can change even some of their basic qualities. That's a growth mindset.
And so when you say basic qualities, because I think a lot of people sort of assume that their personality, maybe their traits are inherited, or because of early experiences in their life, they're kind of fixed. Maybe I'm kind of shy, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I hear this, when I look at myself and I go, well, yeah, I'm kind of a shy person because of this and that, would I then have a fixed mindset because I'm saying that?
Well, nobody denies, or almost nobody denies, that we're born with different temperaments, and that can underlie basic qualities like shyness. But much of our personality consists of the beliefs that we have. And when we understand those beliefs, we can go and change them. So, research has shown that shy people who believe their shyness is something that they can improve actually put themselves in more challenging situations and succeed more in those situations than people who just see their shyness as a fixed trait that they can never do anything about.
So even if we have the, let's say, a particular limitation that is genetically been given to us, maybe it is our intelligence, you know, the IQ, maybe technically, based on IQ, we're not necessarily as intelligent as maybe our neighbor. But what you're saying is if you have a growth mindset, you won't just give in to that belief. You'll actually create a different kind of environment, one in which you can potentially excel.
Yes, but what's so exciting now is research from cognitive psychology and cognitive neuroscience is showing we are becoming able to teach intelligence. We are understanding now what the basic components of intelligence are, and even in young adults, research has shown that training certain faculties of the mind actually can increase intelligence on an IQ test. So that's really exciting. It's all an open question now.
Wow. Where was that research when I was studying for the GRE?
I could have
used that.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. Do you think that the mindset that someone has is like a personality characteristic where it is genetically transferred, or is it something that we learn?
I think it's both. Some kids are born charging around the world, mistakes don't faze them, and other kids are more inhibited, more self-critical. They get really upset when they make a mistake. These different temperaments can predispose people to develop different mindsets. However, our research has shown that the environment plays a huge role. We have findings now showing that the way parents praise their kids at 1 to 3 years of age is affecting their mindsets 5, 6, 7 years later. So the environment plays a really, really large role.
Do you think that sometimes we may be born sort of with a growth mindset, but because of environmental factors, maybe a parent, maybe a teacher, well, I know that's the case, based on your book, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that. But there are these external factors that can influence our mindset and maybe change it from what was once a growth mindset to maybe more of a fixed mindset.
Yes. Kids are naturally born to learn. When they're learning to talk or walk, they don't say, these errors are so humiliating, I think I'll sit down and shut up. They just keep at it. They're tireless learners. And it may well be that as they come to be evaluated and as they come to go to school, that they start worrying, do I have it? Don't I have it? Am I a good kid or a bad kid, a smart kid or not a smart kid? A lot of things we do can put children into a fixed mindset. I'll talk about this later in your program, but even telling kids they're smart can put them into a fixed mindset. But I think you were alluding to my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Wilson.
Yes, Mrs. Wilson. Please talk about poor, dear Mrs. Wilson.
Mrs. Wilson had such faith in the IQ test and in that number it yielded that she seated us around the room in IQ order. This was already the highest IQ class in the grade, and yet she thought the lower IQ children in the class should not be allowed to clap the erasers, wash the blackboard, carry the flag in the assembly, carry a note to the principal. She thought your entire intelligence and even your character were summarized by this number, and she communicated this to us on a daily basis.
It sounds like a nightmare.
Well, nobody wanted to stretch themselves and learn new things. Everyone just wanted to be perfect all the time so she would respect us.
And it sounds like, based on that initial experience, everyone almost sort of were forced into this fixed mindset, and that really stuck with you.
Yes, if you had a growth mindset coming into that class, you did not have it going out of that class. You were always worried about being measured. Now, part of me always loved learning, and I think I hid that part and protected it. But boy, it really created a fixed mindset in me and my classmates. And moving forward, I was not the kind of risk taker I had been before.
And so this is going to sound like a really fixed mindset kind of question, but let's say someone's listening and they say, you know what, so what, I've got a fixed mindset, big deal. How is that affecting them, and why would it be better for their success and happiness to have a growth mindset?
With a fixed mindset, you're so worried about how smart or talented you are, you don't take on challenges. You don't try new things. The hallmark of successful people is that they are always stretching themselves to learn new things. When there's a setback, someone with a fixed mindset will start thinking, maybe I don't have what it takes. They may get defensive, give up. Now, a hallmark of a successful person is that they persist in the face of obstacles. And often these obstacles are blessings in disguise. Maybe you don't know how to do something at work. Instead of asking the boss or seeking someone as a mentor, you might not want to show your ignorance. So you're depriving yourself of this learning and mentorship. All of these ways are ways that a fixed mindset will hold you back. In a growth mindset, in the same situations, you're trying to stretch. You're getting feedback from all kinds of people. You're learning from your mistakes and moving forward in a better way.
And so it sounds like with a growth mindset, you are willing to take more risks because you're not so concerned about failing.
Failure isn't going to measure you. It's not pleasant. We all like to succeed, but it doesn't measure you. And in the end, it teaches you something that makes you more likely to succeed in the future. I've talked to a lot of incredibly successful business people who say, if I hadn't had my first two or three failures, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Well, one of the great quotes from your books, from your book is that exceptional people convert life's setbacks into future successes. And that clearly is a growth-oriented person.
Yes, clearly. Again, in a fixed mindset, a setback means, hey, you're not cut out for this. And you may, in a fixed mindset, think that successful people were always successful. They had it easy. They had the talent that allowed them to coast to greatness. That's not true. They're people who worked harder than anyone else and got up after a failure, brushed themselves off, and tried even harder.
And so when someone is thinking about growth versus fixed mindset, clearly, I'm sure one of their first questions is, well, you know, I've got this fixed mindset. Is it possible for me to change mindsets? I've got brown eyes. I can't will green eyes. But can I change my beliefs, change the way I think, and switch from a fixed to a growth?
That's what's so exciting, because even though these mindsets are important parts of our personality, and even though left to themselves, they may continue in a stable way, because we understand them, we can now change them. So, if you have a fixed mindset, well, if you love your fixed mindset, by all means, keep it. But if you're interested in understanding another way of being, think about a time that you thought you couldn't do something, but now you're really good at it. How did that happen? It happened because skills are acquirable. Think of people you thought were not so capable, and now they're huge successes. How did that happen? Well, they acquired skills. Think about people who are struggling. How would you advise them within a growth mindset to keep on going? So you have so much evidence in your own life of how people's talents and abilities can grow. That's the first thing to think about in changing to a growth mindset.
So even someone who has this fixed mindset, that there have been times in their life where maybe by accident they've acquired this growth mindset,
yeah,
and they've persevered, and they learn new skills and new traits, and as a result, acquired this new talent.
Yeah, maybe even in college, you took a course, you thought, I'm really not good at that. And you really were good at it. That should teach you something.
And based on your research, have you found that sometimes with a single person, that they may have a fixed mindset when it comes to certain things, like maybe their intelligence or their ability to learn new material or their ability to speak in public and these kinds of things. But on the other side, maybe they have a growth mindset when it comes to playing sports and taking risks out on the field.
Exactly. That's exactly how it works. Some people have a growth or a fixed mindset across the board, but many, many people have islands of fixed and growth mindset. Very much so. Someone can think their athletic ability is something that grows with practice. They may think that's perfectly obvious, but they have a fixed mindset about their intellectual ability and its capacity to grow. So these mindsets can be very specific to certain areas.
And how would one really try to find out what locate those islands of fixed mindsetedness, if that's even a word. How would they locate those and so they can begin to sort of make this transition from fixed to growth?
So one thing is they can ask themselves directly, what are some abilities or talents that they really, really value but they think are fixed? In my book, I talk about artistic ability. Don't many people think, well, you have this gift or you don't? And I certainly did for much of my life. And then I read Betty Edwards, Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain. 5 days into her course, everyone looked talented. She thinks drawing is a skill, not an inborn ability. It just blew me away to see people drawing these incredible self-portraits after 5 days. So that's the first thing. Think about what area. Think about something you always wanted to do, but you were afraid to try. Chances are, that's a fixed mindset. Why are you afraid to try? Afraid of making mistakes? Afraid of finding out you don't have talent? So those are some ways to start thinking about where you have a fixed. What about something you did try, but you didn't do well at first and gave up? A lot of people say, oh, I tried that, but I didn't have the ability. Well, you don't just try once. You try many times. You try in different ways. You get a mentor. You take lessons. You cannot know how good you'll be at something from how good you are at it in the beginning.
And based on your many years of experience and research into this field, have you found that people with the fixed mindset are even open to wanting to think about things differently? I mean, it's almost like if someone's really depressed and you say, Okay, you're really depressed, so what you need to do is you need to exercise, you got to go out, uh-huh. You got to do this, you got to see some friends, and they're just on the couch going, oh, I don't want to do any of that. It's almost the chicken before the egg kind of thing.
What do you
tell someone like that?
Well, I think that the growth mindset just gives you some food for thought. It provides an alternative way of thinking if your fixed mindset isn't working. A fixed mindset is often very threatening to give it up, especially if you felt really smart and really talented. It's hard to give that up. It makes you feel better than other people. It allows you to know that you can expect great things from yourself. But at some point, it's going to hang you up. At some point, you'll hit an obstacle, or at some point, other people who are learning and working all the time will become better than you are. Then what happens? That is crushing in a fixed mindset. So sit with the idea of the growth mindset, and it'll be there for you when you need it.
It's funny that you bring up the fact that someone can have a fixed mindset, but it could be fixed on very positive things, like, I'm smarter than everyone else. I'm more talented than most other people. And here I've been really sort of fixated on someone with the fixed mindset almost has a weakness in certain areas. But like you identified, you can have a fixed mindset that you're smarter than everyone else.
Yes. But unless you're learning all the time, people are going to catch up. People that you may have looked down on as not your equal are going to do great things. You cannot sit there and be smart and expect to always be on top of everything.
Right. You've got the growth mindsetters in the rearview mirror, and they're coming up behind you.
Exactly.
And I'm also thinking that if someone has this fixed mindset, for example, I myself, like you, when it comes to artistic talent, I have zero. And for the longest time, I've always thought, well, you know, I just don't have the talent. I wasn't born with it, so that's that. And I think for maybe a lot of people with a fixed mindset in a certain area, it almost gives them an excuse. For example, I hate standing up and talking in front of people. I just wasn't born that way. I'm naturally introverted, so I can't make that presentation. You know, it's just not who I am.
Yes.
So does it give people an excuse?
It gives people permission not to try if they think that way. And a phrase that really drives me crazy is when kids say, oh, I'm not a math person. It's almost like a badge of courage. I mean, a badge of honor, where you get to declare yourself something and then you're absolved of trying. And it's just quite destructive to think that you can declare yourself and then not ever have to try. Well, now, if you have a growth mindset, it doesn't obligate you to try, but if you really, really value something, you can go for it.
Well, see, I definitely cannot let my wife listen to this, because for the longest time, I've told her, I'm not good with my hands. I can't fix things. And now you've completely shattered that, because she can just simply say, well, that's a fixed mindset, Robert. You clearly can acquire certain talents and then be much more handy around the house.
Yes, she can.
Well, this is the joy of editing. We'll just get rid of that part.
Okay. But, you know, recently someone told me they had a public speaking phobia. They decided they weren't good at that they could never have a profession that involved public speaking. But they decided one day to confront that. And now they are speaking to stadiums of 40,000 people at a time.
That is amazing. And it all comes down to how you think about yourself and sort of your self-image and what kind of person you think you are. And I mean, you said it at the onset. It's that the mindset is a belief, and it's these beliefs that really control what we will and what we won't do.
Exactly.
And so to begin the shift from fixed to growth, because clearly anyone listening to this program, anyone reading it on CBS, is going to have either a growth mindset or a fixed mindset, but the willingness to change, because otherwise they wouldn't be here.
Right.
And so for the growth mindset, are there any things that they should be doing differently?
For the growth mindset, you know, a lot of people have told me they recognize that they've had a growth mindset, but they never put a label on it. They never had it legitimized as a worldview, a life view. So everyone can benefit from thinking through, what do you say to yourself in a growth mindset when you're facing a challenge? You take it. What do you say in a growth mindset when you have a setback? What can I learn from it? What do you do in a growth mindset when someone's better than you? You think, maybe I can learn from them. What kind of praise do you give to others when you're in a growth mindset? You praise their process, not their abilities. All of these things can be sharpened and applied more successfully when you understand the mindsets.
Is there any advantage ever to having a fixed mindset? In your research, have you found a particular situation where, you know, a fixed mindset is actually more appropriate here?
Well, research has shown that when it comes to sexual orientation, people tend to be better adjusted if they think that is something inherent and fixed in them, rather than something that they can or should change.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but pretty much everything else, it makes sense to have a growth mindset.
Yes. And sometimes if someone is on the positive end of a stereotype, for example, if you're a white male or an Asian male and you're taking a math test and you're made aware that you're on the positive end of a stereotype, sometimes you can get a boost.
Yeah, that's right. I remember reading that research. It was with Asian women, right? They took a test, and we have this we have this preconceived notion that if you're Asian, therefore you're smarter at particular kinds of tests.
So if you remind them they're Asian, they get a boost. If you remind them they're women, they do more poorly on a math test. But that's temporary, that boost, because, again, if you're in a fixed mindset and you really hit obstacles, that fixed mindset will turn against you.
And so can you talk a little bit about these mindset workshops and what Brainology is?
Yes. We and others have done research with adolescent students, teaching them a growth mindset, teaching them that every time they stretch themselves to learn something new, the brain forms new connections, and over time, they get smarter. This is illustrated in many ways, and they're taught how to apply it to their schoolwork. Over and over, it's been found that students who learn this growth mindset then earn higher grades and achievement test scores compared to students who have been given other workshops, even ones that teach them wonderful study skills. Based on these exciting findings, we went and created an animated, interactive, online workshop that we call Brainology. The students log in and they follow two really hip teens through their school day. The participating student keeps a journal, gives them advice, does exercises applying the growth mindset to their schoolwork, visits a state-of-the-art brain lab, meets a mad brain scientist, does experiments on the brain to see how the brain grows with learning. We originally tested Brainology in 20 New York City schools with terrific results. Virtually every student who took the Brainology online workshop reported that they now studied in different ways, took on harder tasks, and even used that powerful image of neurons growing in their brain to motivate them. They said things like, I always think of them when I'm in that image when I'm in school, or every time I think of not studying, I think, no, my brain won't form new connections. We're now doing other validations of the Brainology workshop, and that's looking really, really good.
Well, that sounds really fantastic. And what ages is this Brainology program best suited for?
It's aimed at middle school, but it's been used with slightly younger kids if they have a good reading level, and it's been used with older students. Even in last year in some high schools in the Bay Area, they used Brainology with seniors in high school who are at risk of not graduating. And when we did a little video testimonial at their schools, they insisted they graduated. It was the first year all of the at-risk seniors graduated, and they came back to say, to talk about the role that Brainology had played.
That is incredible. I mean, this is such a powerful concept. It's because it's really the lens through which we see the world and ourselves in it. And it's just so amazing that once you can start to shift how you think about yourself and your abilities, it's like everything just really can open up at that point. And I'm wondering if there's a Brainology for teachers, because, you know, we don't want another Mrs. Wilson.
Yes. We are now developing... we are now developing ways for teachers to support students in their learning of the growth mindset. And in the process, the teachers learn the growth mindset as well. We got a very nice grant from the government to develop this growth mindset learning platform for teachers. So I'm looking forward to making that available.
And so if someone's listening and they have an adolescent or younger or even older child, how can they get more information on Brainology? Where can they go?
They can go to www.brainology.us, and they can see some previews of Brainology, and they can sign up for a password.
Okay. And let's say my child has a teacher that is very obviously has a fixed mindset. What should I do at that point? Should I switch schools? Should I talk to the teacher? Or can I do something to almost inoculate my child against their fixed mindset virus?
I like to say, give the teacher my book as a present.
Anonymously.
Or not so anonymously. But I think it is also important to inoculate your child against a teacher's fixed mindset. And there are several ways you can do that. First, you can emphasize to children that their intelligence can be developed. Then a very important way is to praise your child properly. And that goes for praising your spouse properly, praising your employees properly. And this is one of our most surprising findings. Praising someone's talent or intelligence backfires and in the end makes them less confident and less motivated. The self-esteem movement kind of trained us to believe that if we told kids how smart and talented they were, we'd give them confidence and set them up for life. But my students and I started thinking, wouldn't praising someone's ability convey a fixed mindset? Wouldn't it tell them, I can see deep inside of you and see how smart you are? And wouldn't it also tell them, that's what I value in you? So we've done a long series of studies with all different ages of children and found that praising ability, even in kids as young as 4, 4.5 years old, teaches them a fixed mindset, makes them not want challenges, and makes them crumble in the face of setbacks. Yes, they love it initially, but their confidence is very short-lived. So what should we praise? We should praise the process that the child engaged in. Praise the fact that they took on a hard task. Praise the fact that they're putting in effort. Praise the strategies they're using to solve a problem. Praise their persistence in the face of obstacles. Many parents tell me that just after a few weeks of this new kind of growth mindset process praise, their children start liking challenges, start being interested in mistakes, and really persist on hard tasks. You're really teaching kids a new value system. You're saying to them, okay, an easy success, well, that's kind of boring. You didn't learn anything. I don't value just success and smartness. I value working hard to develop new skills and learn new things. And kids are so tuned in to this new value system. We showed that even in a workplace, people are really tuned in to the growth mindset or fixed mindset value systems.
Well, since reading your book, I have a 5-year-old daughter, and since reading it, I have tried as hard as I can to really shift the way that I praise my daughter, because I mean, like I'm sure so many others, it used to be, oh, sweetie, you're so smart. Oh, sweetie, you're such a great artist. And, oh, wow, you're such a great, you know, baseball player. And that is, it seems like that's so natural to do.
Yes, yes.
But it's completely the wrong type of praise based on what you're talking about. So it's been a struggle for me to, because I catch myself and I'm like, oh, no. I'm not praising her intelligence or her ability. I'm praising her effort, her persistence. If she tries something, it's like, oh, that's all right. You know, wow, you really must have worked hard on that, or you must have studied very, you know, hard to, in order to do that. And so it takes a little bit of time, because I think for sort of the self-esteem sort of generation, we've been sort of taught that we've got to build someone's self-esteem up when you can't give someone self-esteem. It's something that they earn, that they develop on their own.
Exactly right.
And so I actually just wrote a column last week about this concept called emotional contagion, where it's and you probably you're a psychology professor at Stanford. you know a lot more about it than I do. But just for the listeners' sake, it's this idea that, you know, like a cold, like a virus, when you're around other people, that their attitudes and their behaviors can kind of rub off on you. And I'm wondering if that's true when it comes to a mindset. If you have a growth mindset, but your boss has a fixed mindset, your spouse has a fixed mindset, your neighbor has a fixed mindset, do you get that kind of emotional contagion where it can actually influence your outlook and your mindset?
Yes, it can. And we showed in recent research that when you think your workplace values IQ, smarts, fixed mindset things, you really have to. We're built as human beings, social beings, to kind of feel out what's the value, what are the values in a setting, and how can I succeed here? And so it almost seeps in, whether you're aware of it or not. And now I think when people keep being aware of fixed mindsets and growth mindsets, they can diagnose it and maybe not succumb to it as readily.
And so because it can sort of rub off on you, I'm just thinking, is there anything that you can do to influence them? I mean, aside from, in addition to giving them a copy of your book, are there other things that one can do to sort of coach someone to have a more of a growth mindset?
I think, I teach a seminar on mindsets every year, and I give students the assignment to go out to find someone with a really fixed mindset and to try to teach them a growth mindset, see what happens. One thing that is very important, and that's what we incorporated into Brainology and we incorporate into a lot of things, is for people to know that the growth mindset has a very strong scientific basis, that the kind of research I talked about before, research in cognitive psychology, research in neuroscience, showing the tremendous plasticity of the brain, much greater than we ever imagined. When people understand that we used to think you were born with a brain, it developed, and then it declined. But no, it's tremendously dynamic. It's capable of growth. And neuroscientists even now believe that we generate new neurons as adults, and whether we keep them depends on whether we use them, whether we stretch ourselves to learn new things. So I think the first step in really opening people up to a growth mindset is to say, we used to think it was fixed, but now science is telling us something different.
This seminar that you do once a year, is this something that listeners can attend? Is it recorded? I mean, how could they get more information on this?
Oh, this is something at Stanford. It's a freshman seminar. It's designed for incoming freshmen to have a small course and intimate experience with the professor. So that's what it is. And I give them these kind of wacky, zany assignments.
So basically, you got to get a 1400 on your SAT and be admitted to Stanford.
And get into the course.
And get into the course, which I'm sure is quite popular. And so if I'm a business owner and I'm hiring someone, or let's say I'm single and I'm out dating and I really want to find someone with this growth mindset, are there some questions, maybe subtle questions that one could ask that could sort of separate the fixed from the growth? Maybe talking about their history or past mistakes or
yes.
Just somehow a way to try to weed out the fixed.
So I've worked with several businesses and several sports teams, even major league teams, to answer the question, how can I select people with a growth mindset? Let's consider sports. Let's consider baseball. One question is, thinking about your ability in baseball, what percent of 100%, what percent do you think is natural talent, and what percent do you think is hard work and practice?
Great question.
Mm-hmm. And you say, hey, you've achieved quite a lot by now. How do you think that happened? And some say, well, you know, I was born with this talent, and others say, I worked night and day for years. My father put a batting cage in the yard. I practiced. We filmed it. We analyzed the films, etc. Another question is, thinking about success in the future, in the big leagues, what do you think you'll have to learn or change? And some say, oh, nothing, or I'll have to get used to the cheering of larger crowds. But others say everything. It's a whole new ballgame. I'll have to take my skills to the next level. Similarly in business, what percentage of the skills you'll need for this job do you think you already have? What do you expect to change or learn as you take on new responsibilities? Also, a question I like is, think of a past failure at work and tell me about it. Well, are they going to talk about a small failure, or are they going to foist the blame off on someone else? Or are they going to talk about something large that they took responsibility for and learned from? I think that's quite revealing.
It is, because, again, with the growth mindset, when you make a mistake, it's something that you are comfortable enough analyzing and learning from, versus with the fixed mindset, you're either going to blame somebody else or just simply say, well, it's just who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting. Have you, in your research, have you found any kind of condition or situation where someone with a growth mindset all of a sudden shifts to a fixed mindset? Is there something that occurs there, some kind of stressor, something that happens that would create that kind of shift?
It could happen if you go into a very judgmental setting where you think people are going to jump on you or disrespect you for being wrong. It could happen after a long series of setbacks. But then knowing about the growth mindset, people have told me that they were in circumstances where they've found themselves falling into a fixed mindset after a long illness or after a series of setbacks. But now that they understood a growth mindset, they were able to kind of climb or claw their way back to trying hard and moving forward.
This is this has been really, really fantastic. And one of the questions I ask almost everybody, because I'm just fascinated with how people, successful people, use their time. And my whole thing are the other 8 hours. So you work some, you sleep some, and then you've got this other time that's kind of your own. And I'm wondering what you do in your other 8 hours, and how it's led to your success.
Well, first of all, I sleep more than 8 hours. I'm happy to admit that we often have this view of people who are successful as never sleeping, never needing sleep. I need it. I enjoy it. So it's a little more than 8 hours. I work more than 8 hours. I love my work. It has so many different facets, but now just trying to answer emails. I have doctoral students that I advise. I have courses I teach. I have research, articles I'm writing, talks I'm traveling and giving. So to stay on top of things, I really have to work more than 8 hours. What do I do with the rest of the time? I love, my husband is in theater. We see a lot of theater. I love the arts in general. I do a lot of that. I love reading novels and nonfiction. We love to end the evening with something from Netflix just to be together and get into another frame of mind.
That's great. Thank you for sharing. This is definitely more on the personal side, and so I appreciate that. And just sort of wrapping up, if someone forgets everything that they've heard with our conversation today, is there one thing that you would just not want them to forget?
Yes. You never know what you're capable of. Nothing can measure your potential. You only know what you're capable of if you push yourself, get out of your comfort zone, and go for it. So that's my advice. Go for it.
What fantastic advice. And if our conversation has really struck a chord with someone, what's the first thing that they should do, you know, before they go to bed tonight? What's that one thing that they should do to really start this process going forward?
I would say think of something you would love to learn, maybe something you've always wanted to learn but didn't have the courage to try it. Go to bed tonight thinking, what's the first step I can take toward learning it? Should I sign up for a course, buy a book, get a mentor? And whatever it is, do it.
And because you are so humble, I will even recommend the second thing, or maybe 1.5, they should go out and buy this book, Mindset. And also to find more out about the book and sort of this idea and this theory, they should go to mindsetonline.com. So mindsetonline.com. And to definitely check out Brainology. It's not .com, it's brainology.us. And
yes.
So thank you so, so much for your time. This has been really, really helpful and insightful for helping people really create a richer life. And so anyone listening, if you want more resources, if you want to learn more about how to shift from a fixed to a growth mindset, definitely go to richerlife.com. There's going to be a lot of things that will help you implement what Dr. Dweck has talked about here today. So again, thank you so much for your time and all of your insight.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.